What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to another weekly episode of the House of the Dragon, episode 8, Lord of the Tides. The entire crew is back this time. Tamika is back.
Meeks, thanks for joining us.
Yes, she is here. She needed to, you know, get them lamb burgers in her system, and now she's rejuvenated, and she has graciously, joined this review session. So we're going to hop right into it for our second time, because this is our second time recording this damn opening. But we're going to begin with Rhaenys. It's been 6 years since she's last seen her husband, Corlys. He's been fighting in the Stepstones, and it's revealed that he has an accident out there. He had his throat slit, and he's also dealing with a fever. So he's in bad shape right now, and is drawing into question if he doesn't survive, who will inherit the throne? Because remember, Laenor is supposed to be dead, and rightfully it should go to him. But since he's dead, it should go to his son, Lucerys, who is Laenor and Rhaenyra's son, quote unquote. Because we know that's not actually their son together. But Vaemon, Corlys' brother, is like, hold on, wait a minute. Let me put my two cents in it. And he's like, hey. And he's like, my children ain't going to love me.
Wow.
And
he's like, well,
it ain't
Jesus.
Untrue. Jesus. Anyway. I know. So Vaemon, Corlys' brother, is like, hold on, wait. The heir to the throne, he's an illegitimate, you know, son. He's technically not a Valyrian. And Rhaenys, who is sitting on the throne, she's a woman, so it's not going to go to her. So Vaemon is like, technically, it should go to me. Right. So he's going to his plan is to go to King's Landing and have this petition heard that he should be the rightful person to inherit the throne. And the reason why he feels so confident that the crown will, you know, err on his side is because it's revealed that essentially King Viserys is so ill right now that he's unable and unfit to rule. And essentially it's Alicent and Otto, the Hand of the King, who are ruling in his place. And we know from previous episodes how Alicent feels about Rhaenyra and her son. So that is essentially which takes place in his opening scene, and essentially the leaping off point for the rest of this episode, and it sets up everything that's going to take place, in the following episodes to come, as well as the fight between these two families. And it's all essentially going to start over this throne. And we see it's sort of coming back again to the illegitimacy of Rhaenyra and her kids and versus the Hightowers, and so that's what we're setting up at the beginning of this scene here. So I pose the question to you, Tamika, we'll start with you. Is do you think A, Corlys is alive, and will we see him before the end of the season? And B, should he have named an heir? And if we do still think and if he did name an heir, do you think we would still have this fighting going on?
Just to be clear, the person you mentioned, that was the gay husband?
Laenor, yeah.
That's who we're talking about.
No, we're talking about Corlys.
Lord Corlys.
Lord Corlys.
Oh, the kid, the one, the cousin, yeah. the white woman's husband.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Sure. Yes.
I'm sorry. The names. Sorry.
I
That's
know
the only names, way. That was the only way. The guy, black guy with the gray hair. I do think we'll see him again.
Two or three of them.
Okay, but the main guy, not his brother that got his head sliced off. But
spoilers.
We'll get into that.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry. Spoiler alert.
I mean, if you're listening to this, you've probably seen the episode.
I hope so. Yeah. If you haven't, sorry.
Why are you here?
Ooh. Don't be.
This is a legitimate question. Why are you here? Get out now. Now.
Okay, but you got to watch how you say things. You don't want to lose listeners.
Get out.
Anyway, to answer the question, I do think we'll see him again. I hope we see him again. I don't think he had any intention of being gone for so long in terms of naming an heir. But then there's also been so much that has evolved in that family. Every time they make a move, it seems to come back and slap them in the butt. So I couldn't think of another expression. Pregnancy brain, leave me alone. But it bites them in the rear end. So I just think that I don't think he intended. I think it might have been intentional. I think he's trying to be more strategic with his moves, as we've seen even when with discussions with his wife, because they both have very different, even though she's always going to back her husband, they both have very different ideas of how to go about ensuring the legacy of their throne. So I do think we'll see him again. I hope we see him again, because that's going to be really mean if y'all just got rid of him without even a good goodbye.
Yeah, that
I mean, the fact that we didn't see him in this episode tells me that we're going to see him and going to see him in a big way.
I think hopefully. So.
And do you think he should have named an heir from the beginning after Laenor passed? Because it's been six, they're saying it's been 6 years and he never named an heir to the throne. I just wonder if he would have done that. Or do you still think we would have all this bickering and fighting?
I think you would have bickering and fighting regardless, because there's always going to be somebody to challenge it, like his brother. Like, had he not named his brother, because technically he's not wrong, he technically does have rights to the throne now. But the fact that he didn't say anything, I think had he done so, he probably would have not selected his brother, and his brother still would have challenged it. So
we also never got really insight into how he feels about Rhaenyra's children as far as with Laenor. Like, I don't know if they ever really went through his feelings, like, legit.
I think it's all...
And how, if he feels very strongly, because obviously we know Vaemond feels very strongly about it, but we never actually
I think in the last episode, we get a little insight in the fact that maybe, you know, he necessarily, again, everyone knows that those aren't her kids, but I think, you know, he was having a conversation with his wife, Rhaenys, and he talks about how people... remember names, mm-hmm. or people don't remember names or something like that. But he was talking about how, you know, eventually, you know, people don't care what your, who technically it's is, your last, you know, your blood, it's your last name that matters. Right.
Yeah. So you I know, think so that's it's why strategic. I agree. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care. I mean, he cares, but he doesn't care as
long as he had the last name.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which still, I mean,
yeah, so
maybe just put a wig on the baby. I mean, they should have probably just did that, you know.
Who, Rhaenyra and
yeah,
they tried. They tried.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, they definitely alluded to it. They definitely in the last episode they alluded to the fact that they did try to have a child, but it didn't.
I said just put a wig on their existing
child. Oh, you said put a wig
like on Harwin's children. Just put a wig on to put some white dreadlocks on them. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So anyways, after that opening scene, we then jump to Rhaenyra and Daemon, and they also get word of what Vaemond is planning. And so they also know that Rhaenys is going to King's Landing, but she won't back them and their claim to the throne, namely because she believes that they killed her son. Which we'll also get to in a later scene, but they eventually decide to go to King's Landing to defend their family and their claim to the throne in Driftmark. After that, we then jump to King's Landing with Allison, and she has a scene with a small council. And then right after that, she gets a word that her son, Prince Aegon, for all intents and purposes, raped one of the keepers, Diana. And she goes to meet with her, and she essentially bribes her to keep her mouth shut about what transpired between them. And I guess my question here is with that scene is, I think you could really see some of the compassion that Allison has. I mean, she consoles the girl. She provides her with money. She gives her the tea and everything. But I guess my main question
is, compassion or manipulation?
I think she really cares about what happened to her. Like, generally, I think, but I think she also is aware of the fact that she has to keep it a secret. She does console her, and you can actually see, like, in her face and her facial expressions that she does have, like, sympathy towards her, but also recognizes the fact that she has to keep it a secret. And even if you go to scenes, and we'll jump to it, the other scene, is she even hugs one of the other keepers when she comes in and she walks in the room and is like, have you seen Diana? She's supposed to be, you know, caring for the kids and getting their dressed this morning. She just walks over and hugs the girl, and she's like, what's happening?
But isn't that, so I think that there is, was that not the
that
daughter?
Was before that confrontation in the that's before last week's confrontation, though.
I'm confused what you're talking
I'm
about.
Saying, like, after that, you know, stuff with Rhaenyra and her father approving of her stance and how she handled herself, I think that changed her whole mindset, and it's been 6 years after that. So I'm saying, I think now she recognizes, hey, I need to get one of my kids on the throne. And yes, she recognizes this as a bad thing, but it can't leak out because of public perception. I think that's what she's worried about.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that, but I'm saying that she also has the human element side of she cares about the girl.
I think
girl
that's just
and what happened to her.
I think it was more manipulation on her part than her compassion.
That's I think if you go back and rewatch to see, I think you'll see
it. I thought it was total emotional manipulation. That's how I read the scene completely.
I have mixed feelings about. I agree to an extent for both of you, actually. But when you say it was compassion, I wonder. Yes, there was concern, genuine concern on her face. But my question, even while watching it, was, is she genuinely concerned? She might have a smidget of concern for the woman, like, as a woman, like, I'm sorry this happened to you as a woman. However, her first thought would be is like, gosh, darn it, this darn kid is going to be the death of our.
That's exactly what I thought.
That's how I read the scene. And it's like, yeah, me too. Yeah, it's like, as a woman, I am sorry this happened to you, but I think her concern is more so, I got to get this kid in line because he's doing too much, and because she was pissed, and you could tell she was pissed. Yeah. And I think there's more so hurt on that end more so than she actually cares about this young girl, because I'm pretty sure she's not the first.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Well, I disagree, but I disagree. I get what you're saying. I mean, I agree that she has more feelings about her son doing it than about the girl. But I think she also sees a part of herself in the girl. I was like, I thought maybe if she was really so hell-bent on keeping a secret, why not just kill her?
She doesn't have to, but that's the thing. She's never liked...
In this world?
No, but she's never... This particular character, character has never liked getting her hands dirty. Even if you think back to...
That's what I'm saying. So why not go get her little snake friend
to
go kill her?
Because she doesn't want to do that. Like, even before when he did what he did, the guy, whatever his name is, she was like, whoa, whoa, I didn't ask you to do all that. Like, I don't think she wants to get her hands dirty or even be remotely related to anything like that. And at the end of the day, as queen, she doesn't have to, because what she spoke was truth, regardless of how she feels about it. She can go around or Diana can go around and be like, well, the prince did this to me. At the end of the day, it's not going to be in her favor, especially in that time. It was never in the woman's favor. So the fact that they're queen and they're royalty, I think, just kind of adds to it. But even if it weren't the case, what are they going to do? They have no rights as women. What's going to happen? Especially because he's a prince. So what difference does it make? There's no point to killing her, I think, is my point. One, she doesn't want to. She doesn't want to get dirty that way. Two, there's no point. Who's going to believe her?
And she's smart enough to manipulate the situation rather than just, like, brute. Kind of like mentality of just, oh, let's get rid of this person. Let's get rid of that person.
Right.
Like, she's smarter than that. At least that's what I think. Even though at the end she kind of misread things, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't think she's cruel by any means, but I also think she's grown to have her own self interest at heart and like in the forefront. Right.
So you agree more on my side? Gotcha.
I said I agreed to with both of you to an extent.
But more.
Oh my gosh.
I'm kidding.
Does anyone feel a little hypocritical of the fact that Allison, I often compare her to Captain America because I do think she is this, or she at least tries to give the appearance of trying to be this sort of virtuous, moral person who has this way of right is right and wrong is wrong. And we go back to even earlier episodes with her and Rhaenyra and her trying to figure out what happened between her and Daemon and everything. But I do, at least on my behalf, I do sense a little, there's some hypocrisy in the fact that she's covering up for her son and mistakes that, not even a mistake, but the atrocity that he committed. Meanwhile, chastising Rhaenyra and her side of the family for what she's doing.
Yeah, and we discussed this last week. Like, she just has this holier than thou, like, way to her when she's in public and to, you know, others that are not in the know. But, you know, we've seen plenty of times that she's not all she's cracked up to say and mean.
Yeah.
And she didn't even tell Rhaenyra about, like, freaking effing her dad. So
and we talked about it in the last episode too. Like this is why like I'm more on Rhaenyra's side. I'm more on the, you know, when a war does eventually take place, you know, I'm more on the black side. No pun intended. Ha ha.
You're right.
then the green side, and it's strictly because of Allison and how she has that holier than now personality, and it just comes across as like not authentic to me. I don't know. Anyways, after that entire ordeal, Allison goes to her son Aegon. We see their scene take place. She tells him that you're no son of mine. We then jump to Rhaenyra and Daemon. They arrive in King's Landing. They are greeted by a slew of nobody because no one shows up to greet them.
I thought that was hilarious. But no, what got me though is the following comment from the Hand, where he's just like, "Were they greeted as their part, whatever?" What did he say? He was very disrespectful.
I don't know. Yeah, he was. Otto was very disrespectful in that.
He was just like, "Were they greeted the way they were intended to be greeted?" In their place, like, sir.
She's still technically the heir to the throne.
Right.
So
she'll have your head.
So they are greeted by nobody. They walk around the castle. Everything, you know, they allude to the fact that everything's changed and all the Targaryen stuff has been taken down. I mean, we don't see people having sex and murals anymore. They go and they see King Viserys.
Oh, that's an important thing. Like, Allison was wearing, you know, Faith of the Seven necklace. She had the, you know, thing hanging from the whatever window, whatever. Very important to note that.
Imagery.
She's turned to religion. But once again, I think that's just for perception.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
So they go see King Viserys, which is like a really weird sort of dynamic, considering that is, you know, Daemon and Rhaenyra are now married, and Viserys is Rhaenyra's father, and Daemon is his brother, and that whole Targaryen interbreeding thing.
Yeah, I can't do the math on this.
I can't keep up. I'm telling you.
But it gets even more complicated the further we go down the lines of
the
this
rabbit
family.
Hole, this lineage.
So King Viserys, I mean, he's all effed up. I mean, he looks terrible. He's missing an eye now.
This man looks like the crypt keeper out here.
But he's still holding on. That man has a purpose.
He does. But he can't remember everything. He's hopped up on milk of the poppy, you know. And a side note, I'll get to it real quick. and they're really there. So Rhaenyra and Daemon are really there trying to convince the king to back them, to back their claim.
Which he always is going to do anyway.
But yeah, but he's so out of it that, you know, he can't make out words or sentences. He just he's like, Daemon's here. You know, he can't complete full sentences. He's out of it. You know, like I said, he's hopped up on milk of the poppy. But Rhaenyra does introduce him to her two newborn sons. We get Aegon, another Aegon in this show, and we also get Viserys. So if you're doing the math on that, if you're following the lineage here, we're gonna have like 12 Aegons by the time Game of Thrones starts, and we're gonna have, I believe, 3 Viseryses by the time the original Game of Thrones series starts as well. So it's going to get a little confusing here between the two Aegons. And I think in the book, confused. They actually have a way of differentiating.
Are they calling the second or third or the fourth?
I think, oh no, it's Aegon, the oldest Aegon, who is...
Conqueror.
No,
does it go back then further than that?
No, Aegon, who is Viserys, and...
Oh, we're just sticking into this. Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about this. Yeah, who is Viserys, and Alicent's son is Aegon the Elder.
Okay.
In the books. I don't know if they're going to eventually refer to him as Aegon the Elder, but that's probably how they differentiate the two. So we have that scene. And then we get a couple of random scenes thrown. Not really random scenes, but just some scenes to sort of flush out the episode. You know, we get Aemon and Sir Christian fighting. Aemon, man, with the one eye patch, you know. He's killing the game out there, man. He's a badass, man. And you know what it is? It's also the face of the guy who's playing him.
Yeah, I agree. He reminds me of a younger Daemon, honestly.
He does. That's actually a good comparison. And it's interesting because those two face off at the end of the episode.
I think he has a lot of respect for Daemon.
Yeah, but I think he's going to eventually play a good villain in the
yeah,
show.
You're not gonna want to like him, but you're gonna like him.
You know, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's how I feel about Daemon.
In the last episode.
I'm not there with Daemon.
I don't know. I just something about that man. I'm just like, I know I'm not supposed to like you, but I kind of like you.
Maybe because it's Matt Smith.
I think it's just, I think it's the character he's not. Well, I just think.
No, I was talking about Danny because Danny said he's not there.
Yeah. No, I've grown to like Matt Smith. I still think he looks too American, but that's just
too ignorant.
He's not American, which is
he's
so
not
funny.
American at all. Yeah, which is, yeah. The
Matt Smith, if you're listening, Danny says you have a punchable face.
No, that Tyron said that.
Oh, Tyron said
he looked too Anglo-Saxon.
But I also think I also think the kid that plays Aemon has a punchable face too.
Absolutely. Especially younger self.
Yeah,
for
which
sure.
One is that?
Aemon, the eye patch.
Yeah, the eye patch.
Oh, the eye patch. Why? Okay. I don't like the oldest. I just want, somebody's got to get rid of him.
Who, Aegon?
I don't think he's going to survive much longer.
I hope not, because he's giving me Joffrey feels. I'm like, you got to go.
Speaking of, there's also a Joffrey.
There is a Joffrey.
These names, man. Okay, so after that, you know, we get a meeting between Rhaenyra, Daemon, and Alicent. And again, you feel the tension and the subtle jabs that they throw at each other. You know, we get a close-up of Rhaenyra's scar, which is great because we remember the last time those two were in a room together. You know, they got into an altercation. Mm-hmm. And then from that scene, we get a Rhaenys and Rhaenyra scene. Those two names together. It's revealed that Rhaenys is really there to try and claim the Lord of Tides for herself. She's there trying to petition for herself as the new Lord there. Mm-hmm. While Rhaenyra is scheming and plotting, proposing that they marry her sons to her stepdaughters. Right. Which I know is maybe a little confusing if, you know, but it's, yeah, essentially that's what she's trying to do and an attempt to appease Rhaenys. But Rhaenys is like, no, I'm not going for it. You know, you tried to kill my, well, you didn't actually try to kill my son. You actually killed my son, in my opinion. And I'm here for myself. So I'm not here trying to support you. Eventually the High Towers are going to strike their blow and I'm going to be standing there and I'm going to try and claim what's in her mind rightfully hers. So then right after that, Rhaenyra's like, this is my last ditch effort, you know, because this is it. Because she knows, you know, the Hightowers, they're going to rule against her. And eventually, you know, they're going to put Vaemond on, you know, as the rightful heir. It's like, oh, I got to go to my dad. I got to try and get to him to try and muster his will up, to try and speak on my behalf. Right. And she goes there and she pleads with him. It's actually a pretty emotional scene. And she's like, I don't really want this. The burden is really getting too hard to bear. If Aegon's dream is true and I'm supposed to sit on the throne, then, you know, as my father, so, you know, speak on me and my family's behalf. And he's just like, nah, I'm out of it. You know, he's still high on milk of the poppy, you know.
Yeah.
So we get there and then we jump to that petition scene. And Danny, you want to take us through that?
Yeah. Viserys, I thought this was the best scene, one of the best scenes of this entire series.
I just know the actor, Patty, better get an Emmy.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Viserys?
Patty Considine? Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Danny.
He does an incredible job. So I don't do well with these recaps, man. I don't speak well for these. You gotta go through it. I don't know why you asked me to do this.
You know what's funny?
You know, I'm the color commentator. What's funny is
when you actually called on Danny, I was waiting for him to say something. Like, no, you're doing a great job. You go, like.
I just feel like people are gonna get tired of hearing
me talk. You're the play-by-play. I'm the color, man.
So, all right. So we get the petition scene and we get Otto and he's sitting on a throne. And he's going to be the one that's hearing these petitions. And Vaemond, he gets up and he speaks his spat. You know, he's talking, blah, blah, blah. He's talking that talk. And eventually, Rhaenyra gets up and it's her turn. And right before she speaks, we get that. It's one of the best moments in the show, for sure. We get that triumphant return. Patty Considine, King Viserys, comes in. He's all masked up, he's all beat up, he's bruised, he's got his cane, he's Cupid shuffling down the aisle. he's getting in there.
It takes 10-20 minutes to get him down there.
I was like, all right, everybody,
no one wants to carry him over there.
I know. But we get that amazing music, though. I thought it was a very powerful,
very
scene.
Good, very good music.
I love the connection between him and Damon at that point.
Oh, yeah, when he helps him up the stairs and he's like, oh, no, I don't need any help. But it's really Damon to help him up the stairs. And one of the best lines in the show, one of the OG lines, I was like, man, I know Viserys has a lot of flack, but, you know, low-key, this was a gangster moment for him. And, you know, he gets there and Otto's sitting in a chair and he's like, I'll sit on the throne today. Yeah.
I'm still going to sit in it incorrectly, but I'm going to sit in
it. Remember your place, essentially.
Yeah, essentially, that's what happened.
And it made me mad, him sitting in the throne. I'm like, why are y'all even, like, appealing to this man? And why is the whole scene just had me upset.
And so Viserys is like, what is this all about? Why are we sitting here? We already talked about
this. We squashed this
before. Yeah, exactly. He's like, we squashed this. What are we petitioning on? And he eventually turns to Rhaenys, and a shocking turn. She actually comes out and is like, I'm actually supportive of Rhaenyra and her willingness to marry her sons to her granddaughters.
I wonder if that was
he took the deal. It's a good deal.
But she never I don't think she ever confirmed or denied with Rhaenyra that she was going to accept her proposition.
Well, so she made it seem like she wasn't.
Right. That's what I'm saying. She never confirmed, but she still didn't confirm or deny. So I'm wondering if by the time she got there, if she was still deciphering. I guess what I'm wondering is if she had planned to say something, or if she, up until that point where he had actually asked her if she was even going to take it. Because the thing was, had the king not gotten there and said, why are we talking about this? It could have gone a whole other direction. And she had to play her cards right, because she's like,
he's here now, so.
Right. Oh, that's true. But if it goes this way, then I need this to go in my favor. Like, for instance, if the brother were to get the throne, I need him to be on my side. But if it goes a different way, then I'll accept this this proposition here.
No, that's actually a good point. That's actually a power move on her part, because she saw once Viserys was well enough to get up there, mm-hmm. she sort of changed it, because you're absolutely right. Because she knew that he was going to side with Rhaenyra, and she was like, I'd rather be on her side as opposed to standing alone. So that's actually a really good point there. So Vaemon, he's really, really upset.
You think?
And maybe I'm understating it, because he gets up there and he's like, I will not have this, and blah, blah, blah. And eventually he gets talking that talk, and eventually that talk got him in trouble, because he gets fired up and he calls Rhaenyra's sons bastards. And then finally calls her a whore.
He's a whore.
And it made me so happy. Honestly, it made me so happy that he said it, but I was also mad that he was the one to say it. Because as soon as he said it, I'm like, you just signed your own death warrant.
Well, he knew. But why? Though.
Yeah, yeah. He knew that he was going to die. Yeah. But he went out on his own terms. Yeah, he went out on his own terms. But why did it make you happy to hear him say that?
Because I agree. Because everybody knows, but nobody's laid it out like that. And I just,
because they didn't want to die.
Right. But I just thought it was really funny that it was, I'm glad that somebody said it out loud, I guess.
Well, he wasn't the first person to say it out loud. It was actually, who was it? It was Aegon who said it last episode. But because that's his son, he wasn't going to say anything about it.
But I don't think they said it publicly like that. I don't remember
that. Plus, it was fun in front of the king and all that.
But. Yeah. Right. Well, other people have at least said it.
They've said it, but not publicly like that. Like, I don't think anybody straight up been like, she's a whore.
Straight up called her a whore. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But technically, I mean, she's not a whore. I mean, that's a thing.
I still thought it was funny.
Technically, she's not. Because Laenor's gay, so he's like a whore. Yeah,
and Laenor knew about it, so
I guess I look at it in terms of
Their perception.
Perception. It's like, you are having children illegitimately when you're married to my nephew. So for him, she's a whore. Because right.
Yeah, yes. Okay. I guess the other thing is, because right now we're going back because we didn't review those other episodes. I mean, if Laenor, well, I guess, you know, the times, you know, he obviously couldn't come out and say that he was right, gay. But his parents knew.
Yeah, they were cool, but they still wouldn't be like, oh, yeah, our son's gay.
No, it wasn't even that they were cool, because the father was in denial, because she was like, the wife was the one
his father alluded to the fact that he has appetites.
No, but what I'm saying is he didn't say at one point he'll grow out of it, like, because she was the one that was like, you know, his true nature.
He said he'll grow out of it, but he recognized the fact that he was gay. He wasn't out there chastising the guy, you know, like some other parents.
But again, it was one of those things that was never said out loud. Everybody, like her illegitimate kids, it's right, one of those things, right, like right, everybody knows, but nobody's gonna say anything.
Right.
At least those who are important know. Anybody who looks at Rhaenyra can tell. They ain't sure.
Yeah, but if he wanted to, he could have treated him poorly. Like, very poorly. But he still, like, said, hey, you know, try to do
He still
this.
Claimed him as a, I mean, yeah. as a son, really, yeah. And as a...
He could have disowned him, so...
He really could
Okay,
have,
like. I don't disagree. However, talking about... Speaking on the character and his... How he behaves...
Right, he has ambitions far greater than
exactly,
that.
Exactly, so I don't think... He, in his particular case, I don't think he would, because that it's so much deeper for him. He's like, well, regardless of his nature, he's going to marry this person. Y'all just do what y'all need to do and figure it out. Because his thing is the claim to power at the end of the day. So I don't think he would, this particular character, I don't think he would do that. I don't think he ever would.
It's kind of crazy, like, how this all thing, like, sort of like plays out, you know, because if this happened and this wouldn't happen, or if this happened, this wouldn't happen. Because you just see the trickle-down effect, starting with Viserys marrying Alicent, you know what I mean? Really going back to the first episode where he chooses the baby over his wife at the time. And if, you know, if that doesn't happen, maybe she's still alive and none of this actually happens. You know what I mean? So it's just sort of that trickle-down effect of if Allison doesn't do this, if Rhaenyra doesn't do this, and maybe everyone else is in life, maybe everyone lives happily ever after, but that's not the show that they're telling. It's not the story they're telling.
Right.
But anyways, in the next episode, in the next scene, we get all the family together, and Viserys, being Viserys, notices the tension between the two sides, and he gives a really good emotional speech trying to get everyone together. And for a brief moment, it actually worked. You see Rhaenyra and Allison exchange pleasantries with each other. It seems like maybe there's a lane where they could at least be cordial with each other, but that doesn't seem to be, because eventually the king has to leave.
The kids after them. The kids just after
the
them.
The kids. Because eventually the pig gets brought out. I'm not going to lie. That pig was looking pretty crispy. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. It looked like it had some crispy skin.
That bacon was tight.
And this is a person, I don't even eat pork anymore. I was like, man, that pig was looking pretty good. But the pig gets brought out and is placed right in front of Aemon, which is a callback to an earlier episode when the strong boys brought out the pig to Aemon, making fun of him.
Yeah.
And we see them chuckle a little bit, and eventually a scuffle takes place between the two families, and they are forced to go their separate ways. And I think this was pretty much them saying that no, there isn't going to be a happy ending for either one of these two families. I think the brief moment that Rhaenyra and Allison has was just that. It was very brief. And I think now that sort of scuffle like axed out any potential
reconciliation,
yeah, between them. Even though Allison comes over and is like, you should come back.
Yeah.
And she goes, you know, I will come back on a dragon back. But I don't think that's gonna happen. Cause then the next
Well, they played the tension in this scene, just not to cut you off. They played the tension in this scene really well. I was really anxious. I thought more than a fist fight was gonna break out. I thought someone was gonna die.
I thought so too. It's like somebody's gonna lose a penis at least.
A penis? Why did you think of penis?
Why did you jump to that?
I don't know what I thought of yesterday. I thought it was like somebody's gonna, because the guy had got his eye taken. So
you jumped to penis?
I mean, I feel like that's the you can't. Because my thing
somebody's
is
somebody's gonna bomb the situation.
Look the way he no. But
you lose an eye, then you lose a penis.
Let me tell you. Let me tell
an eye for a penis. That's how it goes.
No, the way he the way he came.
Yeah, you got to put
the
this
way
out.
The way the oldest.
You got to put this clip out.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna put this clip out.
Go ahead.
The way the oldest was come. So okay, so they get patrolled to their second cousins or whatever. I forget how now they're related.
Yeah,
but. And he's just to torment this guy. The oldest is making passes at this girl. Like, no, it's all a pride thing. So in my head, I'm just like, this boy has already taken an eye. He's going to turn around and cut off his penis. Like, you're not going to sit here and like harass my betrothed. Like, that's.
Yeah, you're not going to sit up here and harass my stepsister, right? All right, okay, Tamika. So that's what immediately came to your mind. You want to cut off guy's penis.
No, I don't.
Yo,
that's what you thought
this
about.
Jump
that's
is what crazy.
You, but you don't see how. Okay, all right, fine, whatever.
I see what you mean. It's just the jump to eye to penis, not an eye for an eye, eye for a penis. It's just. Yeah, I didn't expect that today.
I didn't expect it. That was a huge joke.
But the point being is with the tension is I was like, somebody's either about to die or lose another important part of their body.
Body part? And you immediately just
I sure
penis.
Did.
Okay.
Does that not sound painful?
Your explanation of it makes sense, I guess. So. All right, we'll go with it.
Yeah, we'll chalk it up to the game there. Anyway.
So finally, we get to...
sure.
Yeah, man, we already saw a guy lose his penis in the first episode, so... So, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to think of who lost their penis.
I know, I can't remember.
No, remember the guy in the When Damon is going through the city and he's just like random folks and killing them.
Yes.
He castrated the guy right there.
Now I remember now, yes.
See?
Okay, but we're talking about two different characters.
Okay, but
here.
It could happen.
We're talking about a random on the street.
But are they not very
and they
similar.
Technically. Yes, but that was because they were like accused of like raping and pillaging. So that
okay, but this guy has raped. Whatever, just move on.
No, Aemon yeah, did.
But no, he
not
didn't.
Damon.
He
I'm didn't not talking rape. About Damon. I'm talking about the oldest son, the king's oldest son.
Yeah, you're talking about. You're talking about Aegon. Yeah, you're right.
Aegon. Yeah.
Everybody knows what a piece of trash he is. Like everybody knows that those kids are illegitimate.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of scary though. If he's going to be king eventually.
But is he though? Explain this to me because I can understand the tension there, because regardless of them being the king's son, the throne still belongs to Rhaenyra. So how's he going to be king?
Because Alicent and Otto and the Greens are going to argue that
he's not legitimate.
Well, we're talking about Rhaenyra. Alicent and Otto are going to argue that as the firstborn son,
he should be king. Okay, but we haven't gotten there yet. As of right now,
we haven't gotten that far, but that's essentially what they're going.
I understand that, but I'm saying as of right now, the throne still belongs to her.
Yeah.
And once again, that's another reason why I think Alicent is more angry at Aegon about just not wanting to be a king and not acting kingly rather than him doing what he does to women.
That's true.
So we get to the last scene of the episode, and Alicent goes to attend to Viserys, who is suffering in the middle of the night. I mean, like I said, the guy is in a bad shape. He's on his deathbed.
This guy should have been dead a long time ago.
He is holding on.
But essentially what happens is Viserys, if you recall in the early part of the episode, Rhaenyra goes to speak to Viserys and she talks about the prince that was promised in Aegon's dream of a song of ice and fire. And, you know, they have that conversation. Alicent, in the last scene of the episode, also goes to attend to Viserys. And then, like I said, Viserys is sort of out of it. And he thinks that he's talking to Rhaenyra, continuing all the conversation that they previously had. So Alicent thinks that the prince that was promised is Aegon, the one that's going to bring peace to the realm. And that sort of, and eventually, you know, the king dies and he's like, no more. And he's had enough. He goes out and he sees his wife and the screen turns to black. And that's the end of the episode. So we essentially end with Alicent getting reaffirmed that Aegon should be sitting on the throne.
So she's thinking,
and
Rhaenyra
gets reaffirmed. Yeah, she's thinking that he's changed his name. Changed his mind, and the true person to be sitting on the throne is Aegon. Whereas Rhaenyra feels reassured that it should be her. And so you can really see where they're on a collision course, and I think we're going to get it in episode 9.
All hell's about to break.
This is what happens when you name this people multiple names, man. The same name.
Yeah.
All I know is all hell is about to break loose now that this man
all
is
hell
died.
Is about to. Yeah, but overall, we'll start with this. What did you think of Patty Considine? Because it's been confirmed now, and if you've seen the previews for episode 9, it is really confirmed that King Viserys is dead, so we are no longer going to be seeing Patty Considine. So what did you think overall, you know, of his performance in this in the season?
I think in this episode, like, he totally redeemed his character. It was a great story arc.
His character from what, though?
From being weak.
Oh.
From being a weak king. And he still, once again, he still doesn't fit the Iron Throne. He wasn't meant for it. But he redeemed himself especially in that scene where he's just climbing like Mount Everest to get to that throne. He just in that one scene, he really redeemed himself. And he, even though he technically not, it's not the right decision because he's still like blind, not blind, but he's can't come to the fact that, you know, her daughter, I mean, his daughter has bastard children, but, but the fact that he stood firm on what he wanted to do, his story arc came full circle, and it was well, really well done. So Paddy Considine, I don't know how to say his name.
Considine.
Really, just off this one episode, deserves at least an Emmy nomination for sure.
Yeah.
I definitely agree. I've enjoyed his performance throughout the entire season. Now he did do an interview, and I took it. I screenshotted it, so I remembered, because he does talk about the perception that King Viserys is weak. And this is what he says. There's this perception that he's weak, which I think is absolutely nonsense. He's just too compassionate for the job. I think the sense of duty is what got to him. What I found really interesting about him was that he wasn't corrupted by power. He just wanted peace. He wanted people to be happy at the end of the day. But that makes him weak. But
he's weak because he could have made decisions that were necessary, hard, but necessary, and he wouldn't make them.
I think in a sense that he was, I think what made him weak was that he was, as he alluded to in an interview, that he was compassionate. He was too good of a person.
Yeah.
Because he wanted everyone to get along. He just couldn't understand. He wasn't very good at politics. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And there's a lot of, even in our own history, there's a lot of good men who were president but weren't good politicians, and so they made for terrible presidents. And I think that's what was in his case. I think he was actually a good person, but he was just a bad king because he couldn't make tough decisions because he was so good of a person.
Yes,
I actually agree with what the actor said. I never saw the character as weak in terms of doing his due diligence and protecting the realm and doing the battles, or, you know, whatever challenges came his way, you know, as a king. That being said, I also agree, though, that he wasn't fit for the throne, because to be in that kind of position, like you said, you have to be able to make those cutthroat decisions, and you can't play the field. You can't be like, well, you know, everybody can just be okay and be fine. That's not how it works. So does that make him weak? I don't think that makes him weak. I do think that makes him unfit for the throne, though.
Right, right. When it started coming out that Rhaenyra had bastard sons, you know how you squelch those comments? You start taking people's heads. That's right, what exactly. You really do.
Yeah.
You start taking people's heads. So when people start talking about it, they know the consequences. And honestly, one of those people should have been Allison. Like, those were one of the first people he should have, because she brought it up multiple times after he told her not to say anything, and she still kept talking about it. Yeah. So it's that. I mean, to me, that's a perfect example of him being a good person, but also, like, you know, being unfit king. Because one of the ways you get rid of that is you rule. Sometimes you got to rule with an iron fist, and he was unable to do that.
AKA weak sauce.
Maybe with his family. I still don't say that makes him weak. I think specifically when it came to Daemon, because in the beginning I'm like, can you get rid of him? Because
Daemon should have died a long time ago.
That's what I'm saying.
He took his head too.
But that's what I'm saying. So I think specifically when it comes to his blood and his family, he could not make those hard decisions. I still don't think it made him a weak king, but when it came to them
becoming, this man avoided wars.
He did. And also the other thing, too, is when Vaemon started getting up there and started talking his shit, he didn't do anything. I mean, he got up. I mean, he wanted to try and do something. But the first thing you say, bring me his head. That's the first thing you say. Yeah. He didn't do it. He had to wait for Daemon to take it.
I still don't think he was a weak king. I don't think his character was weak. But I do think he had high hopes for people that, it just wasn't, he had too much faith in people. And his people specifically, his daughter, his wife, his brother.
True.
Fair enough.
Side note, I was thinking about this. Does everyone forget that Rhaenyra married Daemon? Like in this, I'm talking about in the episode altogether. Like it's just one of those things that no one talks about.
After they everyone, didn't talk about it at all.
After in what episode 4 or 5, whatever, when it was like a huge thing of Rhaenyra and Daemon hooking up, and now they're actually together, and no one, I guess, on the list of things to be upset about, that's low on our list of priorities.
Yeah, nobody cares. They're like, those.
I mean, so much has transpired in between that time.
Yeah, they got bigger fish to fry than some uncle niece things.
So, but overall, what were your feelings about, you know, this episode? Where does it rank, I guess, in your favorite episode of the season list so far?
Is there such a thing?
Of course.
I think it's just a bridge to where we need to get to. That's what I think. It's just tying up those loose ends, because I think we were all waiting for him to die, honestly. We just didn't know when it was going to happen. It's like he's still, even after the first time, 10-year time jump, I'm like, he's still living? So.
Right, yeah.
Should have been that, yeah. But Danny, what did you think of this episode overall? How would you rate it?
Yeah, I thought this was a great episode. Like, it's just one up there with the best, because of Patty Considine. That's how you say it?
I think so.
Okay. Just because, honestly, his performance alone makes, at least that moment, is one of the greatest Game of Thrones moments ever. So that's what elevated this episode for me. I still think last week's episode was one of my favorites, but this was a great episode as well. It kept me entertained. And once again, the politics keep running amok, and that's the game we like to play.
Yeah, the politics keep on politicking. I mean, they just have, again, they're just so consistent with their episodes and the quality of their episodes. So it's kind of hard for me to tell you where it rates for me, but I just enjoy this episode, and I get it as sort of like a bridge. And I sort of was expecting this to be like the episode where, like, oh man,
you thought some all the stuff is going down, but I kind of had a feeling that they were going to save it for.
Yeah. I thought it was, because usually episode 8 is usually the episode that usually sets things off, but I think it's going to be episode 9 and 10. We're going to eventually, like, all hell is going to break loose now that, you know, Viserys has passed away, and there's going to be a fight, obviously, you know, for the throne. And I think that's going to lead us into into season 2. But Tamika, we actually, because you weren't on the last episode, I could ask you, whose side are you on in this battle? Are you on Rhaenyra's side? Are you, which is the black side?
I have to be on Rhaenyra's side, honestly. One, I just like her as a character. Number two, I can't stand the king and Alicent's sons. Like, I hate them. So I can't root for them. As illegitimate as these kids are, at least they're humble. I mean, her kids, at least they seem humble. And, I'm definitely on her side. I'm still rooting for her.
All right. So we are 3 for 3 with Team Rhaenyra. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll see how it all plays out, you know, because these kids are going to get older, which is, has anyone else noticed that? Like, so they have like these big time jumps, and you see the kids get older, but you don't really see anyone else.
Daemon
get older.
Has not aged.
I was going to say, Daemon is not aged. Rhaenyra, okay, I mean, yeah, we saw her get, she's aged, but like her sons, like you're talking about like almost like a 10-year time gap between,
right,
like 2 episodes ago to now. And you notice 10 years and you don't see it in her face.
And she's got like, what, 5 kids now?
Yeah, she definitely should be like wrinkled up.
Not something.
All that, but.
But wait, can we talk about the fact that Alicent's, the king's daughter, married Aegon? Is that, am I following that correctly?
Yeah, essentially.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because we didn't talk about it. So I thought it was going to come up on its own, but it didn't. So I just wanted to address that. The weird daughter. Allison's daughter.
Yeah, she doesn't get a lot of play in terms of like screen time, I should say.
Yeah.
But like she actually is a low key an important character because she has the dreams and she can. I don't want to say predict the future, but if you remember, even in this episode, she does tell. I don't remember. I think it's Bela, who's Liana's, and
I just getting frustrated with the
name. I am because it's kind of hard.
Gonna have to write a map.
But I think it's. I know. So I think it's Bela who is Damon and
Liana's
daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. So her and I can't remember if it's Jace. Yeah, I can't remember if it's Jace or whoever the brother is. Was one of what's the name's sons? Rhaenyra's sons.
Lucerys? Or no.
I think it's Lucerys. I think it's either Lucerys or Jace. Because I think Joffrey's too young.
Right.
But anyways, so they're supposed
tomato,
to be
tomato tomorrow. Anyway.
Yes. And the daughter is like, he'll just ignore you for most of the time, except when he's drunk.
Oh, that's your husband.
So I think that's like I think that's foreshadowing like what their relationship is going to be like. She also foreshadowed her own, marriage with her brother.
It's so strange.
It's so weird. But yeah.
And they got kids. That's all I gotta say.
Hey man, Targaryens, can you say?
Every time.
Anyways, is there anything else you want to bring before the pulpit before we close out this review?
Episode 9 preview. Did you take any
episode 9 preview? I mean, I did watch it. Any expectations or what do you think may take place?
I think just like we said, it's just gonna go down. It's going down.
It's going down in a landing.
Honestly, I can't remember much of it, to be honest, which I'm still.
Oh, it happened so quick.
Yeah.
Though I do think we're going to get introduced to another. Oh my gosh. I do think we're going to get introduced to another kid.
She's pregnant. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought she was.
She was rubbing her belly the entire episode.
Right. That's what I said at some point because I don't remember anybody acknowledging it because I was like, is she pregnant again?
They've just accepted the fact that she's just a baby making machine.
Clearly, because I was like, she kept holding her stomach. I'm like, is she pregnant again? But nobody said anything. I was like, okay.
It's kind of like them getting married. No one says anything. You know,
they're like, they're gonna do what they're gonna do.
Bigger fish to fry. Yeah. But anyways, that'll do it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week to review episode 9. So until next time, film fans.
Peace.